Welcome to Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys. We have three stupid guys here tonight. We're missing Mike. He's at a concert somewhere in Miami because there's always a concert in Miami.
Somewhere.
Yeah. How's it going, guys? Matt's awake finally, and Russ has got a movie to catch, so we're going to try and zip through this in like 45 minutes. It shouldn't take too long.
Russ has got places to go, movies to see.
Yeah.
He's clearly.
The midnight showing, so it's like Star Wars. You got to get there. It's what movie are you seeing, Russ?
The Revenant.
The Revenant. Well, Golden Globes. It did well at the Golden Globes.
It did.
So I guess that's good news.
Which that means it'll probably do well at the Oscars.
Usually that's what it means, yeah. But will Leo win an Oscar? That's the question. He did win for Best Actor in the Golden Globe, but. He's like the Tom Cruise of not Tom Cruise, the Paul
Jack
Newman.
Nicholson. Oh.
Well, Jack Nicholson's won some awards. But took Paul Newman like eight tries to win an award. But anyway, we had a wild weekend of football this weekend. Which game do you want to start? We could start with the Minnesota game or the Cincinnati game.
Ooh, which one broke your heart more? Because the Minnesota one kind of.
Well, I had Seattle, so it really didn't matter. Actually, I didn't watch the Seattle game because I had to go. Jay had a toy show, so we went to that first.
Yeah,
and my daughter.
You broke up.
Cincinnati game.
Russ, you're breaking up, Russ.
So sounds like your voice is playing banjo. It's pretty amazing. Try again. Cincinnati. You started to say something about Cincinnati. Okay.
All right, before I think he's frozen there. So. What's that? What's the song?
Can you hear me, Major Tom?
Oh,
too soon. It's too
soon. Rest in peace, David Bowie. I was shocked by that.
It was one of my heroes. Yeah. So
I wasn't a huge David Bowie fan. Liked his music, but I was like, I saw that. I go, that can't be right. He's not that old. Then I saw it was cancer. Then it was reported everywhere. I go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Man, that's just sad. It just seemed to affect a lot of people.
Yeah, Facebook just pretty much blew up. I was like, wow.
Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was talking about that my daughter and her husband have put a bid in on a house, and they're getting the house, so we went out and looked at it. And so that was pretty cool. So I'm in the radio, and Seattle, Minnesota has the ball with like a minute 20 left, down at like eight on the 18-yard line. I go, oh, this game's over.
Yeah.
So I went out to look at the house, and I'm listening to the highlights. I go, well, did it go into overtime? How did Seattle win the game? So then I got home and saw the highlights. Oh my God!
Yeah,
Blair Walsh missing a chip shot.
Well, field goal. And I mean, except for the miss, I mean, he was kind of a hero for the. I mean, he kept him in that game, in some ways.
Yeah, so. I feel so bad because that was so. Well, to me, that was most Charger fans said this. Every Charger fan said the same thing. That was a Charger loss. That was like that's how the Chargers lose games, and they've lost several playoff games because of. Well, I won't mention his name, Nate Kading, who was money in the regular season. Just he had like the best accuracy in the regular season at one time, but in playoffs, for whatever reason, at home, not on the road, at home, he would miss field goals and it would cost them games and. It just I
remember some of those games.
I do too. I couldn't be a kicker. I couldn't do it. What about you, Matt? Could you be a kicker?
I think I could. I think that's my size and stature as a player. I think one of my favorite moves is Pat McAfee and his little putt, you know, kind of motion. Yeah. I mean, it's very clever. So I'm all in. I'd be a punter.
What about you, Russ? I see Sebastian Janikowski like on you. What do you think? You there, Russ? Anyway, let me text him. Let him know we can't hear him. So, okay. No, it was just a tragic loss. But I do like that. The coach Mike Zimmer said, "Yeah, we should have won the game. He should have made the kick. It was 27 yards, even though the laces were out and not in the right place."
Yeah, maybe Adrian Peterson maybe should have lined it up a little bit more in the middle.
Or maybe he shouldn't have fumbled.
Maybe he shouldn't have fumbled. I mean, there were a lot of things that happened in that game.
Yeah, it's just...
I don't be the one.
Oh my god.
I feel like we're three stupid guys and a robot tonight. I'm sorry, Russ.
I'm going to tell him to turn off his computer and try again, and I'll send him another link. How about that?
I'm going to start calling him R2-D2. Russ-2-D2.
Anyway, so that was a tragic game. Then we had the Green Bay-Washington game. I'll save Cincinnati for last. How about that?
Okay.
I watched a lot of this game. Looked like Washington was up, 12-0? No, 11-0. Missed the extra point.
Yep.
And then it was all Green Bay from there.
Yeah.
They just went crazy. They just were making every play, and Washington just couldn't get it done. Sure sounded like there were a lot of Green Bay fans in the stands.
They do travel well, don't they?
Well, they wanted to go to a warmer site. But it was probably like 35 degrees in Washington, probably like 10 degrees in Green Bay. So.
But Washington was in this game for a good three-quarters of the game still.
Yeah, they could have easily won the game, yeah.
Green Bay, I couldn't believe how porous they were. It was laughable. I mean, you'd turn around and all of a sudden, you know, Washington would be gashing him by 20 yards, 30 yards. There was that one play with a player looked like he touched, didn't, kept going, but the play was called dead. It was called dead twice on Washington. They couldn't review it. The one play was kind of, he touched it. He touched the ground, but that...
Well, the one that wanted you to talk about the forward progress...
Yeah, exactly. The forward progress being called dead, and it would have been that way anyway. But they had definitely just sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way.
Yeah, sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't get the calls. That's just the way life is.
Hopefully, Russ comes back so he can talk about his playoff team.
Yeah, Russ Dameron has joined the video. Russ, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. You're no longer robotic.
Mr. Roboto.
We were talking about the Green Bay game. First, we already talked about the Minnesota game. You have any sympathy for the kicker, Blair Walsh?
No, that's a hard one because, you know, that's what he's paid to do is make those kicks at that time. So,
right.
You know. Look at last night in the national championship game. I mean, that kicker hit a little chip shot so they could recover the onside kick, and it's like, you know, I mean, those kids are in college and they can pull something off like that. I mean, you'd think a, you know, pro can make a little chip shot.
Well, he was 3-for-4 in baseball. That's batting 750. So if you're batting 750 in baseball, you're making $500 million a year. But I guess in football, if you're 3-for-4, but that one kick is the kick that doesn't win you the game, you're the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a 27-yarder, and he wasn't even close. I think that was the worst part. He wasn't even close to it.
The ball never cut back to the right. It just kept going left.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was one of those.
Knocked down the peanut vendor because the peanut vendor, the net's not there, and the peanut vendor got killed by the ball, just sitting there, just wasn't expecting to get hit by the ball at that point.
It was, yeah. It was inflated, though.
Well, because, yeah, anyway. KC game, Russ, you have to be happy about how your Chiefs played. That game wasn't even a contest. I think he's frozen again.
Man. I wanted to get on his case for thinking that the Seahawks would beat him by 3 touchdowns. I mean, I guess I was the only person that believed in the Vikings and their miserable luck. But, you know, I did think that I thought that they gave him 5 points in the spread or whatever. I thought that was a bit high to begin with.
Right. Well, when I found out that Lynch, if I knew Lynch wasn't playing, and I didn't know the weather was going to be that bad.
Yeah.
If I would have known that, I would have still taken Seattle to win, but I would have taken, there's no way I would have given 5.5 points. When I saw the weather and I go, oh, Lynch isn't playing? He was at practice. This whole thing of Russ just staring in one spot is freaking me out.
Especially because he's staring at us, too.
Yeah, he's right at us. Ah! See, people wonder what it's like to be a podcaster live. This is being a podcaster live.
And your other podcaster not showing up.
Maybe next year we just go to... we just podcast it. We don't podcast live. What do you think? Anyway, I'm going to just go... Kansas City definitely controlled the game, won it from start to finish, dominated. 11 straight wins for them. They're on a roll. And then I'll finish off with the Cincinnati game. I don't know. Did you watch the game, Matt?
I did. I watched a good portion of this game, but at some point I gave up. I was like, whatever. I just kind of felt like Steelers were going to win. And
did you see the ending?
No, I didn't. Okay. It was one of those moments where I woke up and I looked at the score and I was like, oh man, Cincinnati came back and actually fought in this thing. So I was
Cincinnati should have won the game.
Right, there's the call.
Roethlisberger got hurt. The backup quarterback's in there. He gets intercepted. There is Russ back? There's two Russes. Are you back, Russ?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. We're going to try and do this quick so you don't get frozen again. We're talking about the Cincinnati game. Did you watch the game?
Yes, I did.
Okay, Matt didn't see the end, but Roethlisberger gets fired. Gets hurt. backup quarterback throws an interception. I think there's like 2 minutes, 21 seconds left. I think Pittsburgh has, what, two timeouts left?
Mm-hmm.
And the two-minute warning? Is it Hill, the running back?
Fumbles, yeah. So.
He gets like 7 yards, but fumbles the ball. Pittsburgh gets the ball back. They're driving. I think it was a 4th and 3. They get the first down. Then Roethlisberger throws the ball to where the guy, you know, they have the little thing line there for the where the guy's range is to kick the field goal. Brown doesn't catch the ball. It's over his head. But Bursick? What's his name?
I saw the hit. I saw the hit later. But yeah, I think you're right.
Incredibly stupid play on his part. Nails Brown. They throw the flag. Brown's laying on the field. Now all these coaches come up. There's some Pittsburgh coaches on there. There's some Cincinnati coaches on there. And Dante Stallworth? Is out there.
Pac-Man Jones.
Is out there. And Pac-Man, I guess he says something. Pac-Man Jones tries to grab him and kind of hits the ref. And so they give him another 15 yards. So they've gotten 30 yards in personal foul penalties with 18 seconds left. And Pittsburgh has no timeouts. And so he gets in field goal range. He kicks field goal to win the game. I'm like, that is unbelievable. And then Perfect got suspended 3 games today. So anyway, he'll appeal it. But I almost feel bad because the Steeler coach shouldn't have been out there. The Cincinnati coaches shouldn't be out there. But I think I'm going to back the refs up on this, even though they could have probably have given both teams penalties at that point. When it's a game like that, it's chippy, and you're calling penalties, it's one of those games where people are in your ear the whole time. I think Jones should have been smarter. I think, actually, Marvin Lewis should have called all his defensemen to the side and said, get over here. Get away from them. Get over here. Get over here. And he didn't. And it cost him the game. I mean, those two guys cost all. It was just he was deliberately going for his head. Perfect. He wasn't even trying to do it. Like again, in the 70s, they'd have a statue for the guy outside because that's how football was played. But you can't play that way anymore. These rules aren't new. It's not like all of a sudden. Well, hey.
Russ, did you have anything to say before you disappear again?
I think he froze again.
Oh, crap.
Anyway, I'm just going to tell him to text his picks because he keeps freezing.
That was what I was worried about, is getting his picks in. From what I understand about the penalty is because he's a repeat offender. So.
Yeah, the suspension because it's 6 times, I guess, this year. And it's a sad way to lose a game. I mean, you saw the Cincinnati fan just... You know, in shock. The game was theirs to win, and that was again Charger-like. It was like what the Chargers do. But like Ed saying, you know, Big Ben couldn't even throw the ball. He was in there throwing the ball. So, it is what it is. And then finally,
I was just going to say, where's the worst place to lose? In the rain? In the cold rain? Or in a freezing tundra? Like, you've been out there in negative degree weather. It just finally reached to zero.
Yeah.
And you're you know, well, kicker missed the... I mean, it's they're both pretty bad.
I guess either, especially the way you lost.
Yeah.
It's just the way, because both teams lost in tragic ways that they shouldn't have lost. They both should have won the game, and they should be playing this weekend, and both teams lost.
Yeah, both teams' franchises.
I never even thought about that, though. What's worse to lose? And freezing to death or being cold rain, you know?
Yeah, I mean, those fans in either situation, and both home games. I called it last week and said, there's no way all three of these home, you know, these road victories happen, and I was completely wrong. It was all four.
Yep. I had all four, by the way. Hey, Russ is back again.
Yes! Welcome back.
You're on mute, Russ. I think you got your mic muted there. Can you hear us? Russ, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Why don't you turn off your video, and we'll just do your try to turn the video off, and we'll just do your audio.
See if that works.
See if that works. All right. Is that better?
I can hear you guys.
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. Any thoughts? Hey, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks.
What I was gonna say about the Cincinnati Pittsburgh game was, you know, most teams, the way they play, are like a reflection of their coaches. You know, coaches that have control of their teams, you know, they play discipline and stuff. Like, I'd fire Marvin Lewis. I mean, he had no control over his players at all, none whatsoever. I mean, that's terrible. They gave up 30 yards on two bonehead plays. Like, that's ridiculous.
I agree with you 100%. In fact, I tweeted out, I thought he was going to be fired.
And great addition to the show.
I thought he was too. I mean that to me, you know. I mean, you know how it is in hockey. If you've got a coach that like yells and hollers and, you know, is always on the bench. I mean, that's generally the way his players are.
But Marvin Lewis doesn't seem like a screamer, does he? He doesn't seem like a out of control guy on the bench. I just think he accepts players. He takes a chance on their talent because some of these guys are just loose cannons. It's just you can't have that many loose cannons on your team. They're talented players, but what good is it if they commit stupid penalties that cost you the game? Right? And yeah. up to that point, Berfick had a great game. But that was a stupid, stupid play. I just was a terrible play on his part. I know Hill was taking the blame for fumbling, but your defense has to pick you up. I say this about the Patriots all the time. Their team, will, if Brady makes a mistake, the team will somehow pick him up. That was just bonehead play. They had 18 seconds, no timeouts left. If he doesn't hit him, they probably lose the game.
Right. And bottom line. Going to having an awesome comeback win, because I went to bed that night like, I'm just going to read a book. I don't need to watch another team that I rooted for lose. Especially after that Vikings loss. So.
But I had Seattle. Anyway, there's other news. Let's do this quick before we lose Russ. The Rams are now officially going to Los Angeles after a long vote. Originally, the six-member panel approved the Carson project was the Charger-Raider project, but then the owners came forward and said, no, we want the place in Inglewood. So then there was behind-the-scenes deals going on. I haven't got all the things going on, but if the Chargers and Raiders choose not to go, well, the Chargers have first option to go to Los Angeles. They can go now or before. They can announce after the 2016 season, they can announce and go before January something of 2017. If they choose not to go, if the Raiders and Chargers choose not to go, they get an extra $100 million from the NFL to stay in their city.
Huh.
So I don't know if they're getting, because they said additional $100,000. So I don't know if they're getting, I guess they'll get the relocation fee, a part of that, the $550 million. But I guess so maybe they'll get $132 million to stay in their cities to help build a stadium.
I heard that they were going to take that money and then buy a bunch of Powerball tickets.
I think that's a great idea.
To build the stadium. We'll give you a $1.5 billion stadium. Tax-free if you win the Powerball.
If you win the Powerball. What do you think the odds of winning if you had $130 million, you bought $130 million worth of tickets? What if you got and didn't win?
Yeah, and that one guy, the homeless guy that bought one ticket.
I'd like 65 million quick picks, please.
You're like telling people behind you in line, it'll just be a second, okay? Yeah.
Sorry, I got this. You're paying in dollars. One, two.
Writing everything. I like to write everything out still, though, by hand.
So what do you guys think? Good news for – I mean, I feel bad for the fans of St. Louis. You know, it just – they kind of got ripped off from their deal. I mean, their team – you know, they supported the team for 20 years, and the team's gone. What was ticking me off at first is they kept saying that the Raiders – that the NFL was going to get this golden parachute for the Raiders and just build them a stadium. I go, wait a minute. We've been in San Diego for 55 years. The Raiders left, came back. I mean, it's not Oakland's fault. But you're just ripping the team out like that? I was getting so ticked off by it, even though I said I'd be a Charger fan no matter what. It was just the whole thing was ticking me off. And then Jerry Jones was pushing his plan with the Chargers and Rams. And then at the end, after he said, I feel good for the fans of San Diego. They have a chance. What, because your plan wasn't – because I guess Spanos doesn't want to work with is it Cranky? I keep calling him Cranky, the owner of the St. Louis Rams. So I just call him Cranky. What's his name, Russ? You know his name? Do you know the owner of the Rams' name? Anyway, so
We'll just call him Cranky McGee.
Cranky McGee. I think they got a raw deal. And
well, I would say, though, I think the L.A. fans were probably most enthusiastic about, you know, getting the Rams of the three choices, from what I had heard from most L.A. fans. You know, seemed like they wanted the Rams.
Yeah, I agree. It just keep talking.
Well, I mean, just of the three, I just thought, okay, you know, maybe they'll end up I don't know. I guess I didn't have that much sympathy for the Rams. So, cuz St. Louis specifically, you know, they've had success with baseball, and it always seems to go that, you know, if one pro sports team kind of dominates, you know, that kind of ends up becoming your city's
unless you're Boston. It's definitely a baseball town. I mean, it's the Cardinals have been successful and popular since the 30s, you know.
you're trying to text and drive this podcast, yeah. Man. I guess Russ is trying to text in maybe some of our picks because. Oh wait, Russ, are you there?
I heard Russ.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, let's do these picks real quick. Anyway, so right now, as we're standing now, I'm waiting to hear. We'll wait and see what happens with
there's hope.
And the Raiders. So there is hope for me, so we'll wait and see. First game, we got Kansas City versus New England. I'm going to root for Kansas City, but I'm taking New England to win the game. Russ?
I'm going to win the game even though I'm rooting for Kansas City.
Kansas City?
No, New England.
New England, okay.
Oh, wow. Picking against your team. Wow.
Okay, Matt, I'm going through this real fast.
Yes, I think I picked this earlier in my mind, and I'm picking New England to win this game. Okay. So
they got some players back.
I think that this is one of those games that the Kansas City Chiefs, they come out strong maybe, and you think, oh, whoa, what's going on here? But it's Andy Reid, and he's going up against Belichick at home, and somehow Patriots come back and win it. So,
all right. And Mike took New England for you people playing at home. Next up is Russ. Kansas City getting 5 points over New England.
I'll take Kansas City to cover.
Kansas City to cover. All right.
That was my thinking exactly. Kansas City to cover on this, because I think New England wins this by a field goal. So, and just for those people playing at home, I got 9 for the week, so I felt like I was the big winner for the week. And Jack, you're on a comeback. What are the grand totals?
Yeah, we have Russ got 8. He's at 166. Matt got 9, 165.
Ha-ha.
Mike got 7, 163. And Jack at 8, 155. So I could catch Mike here, right?
You could.
If Mike goes, I should just pick the opposite of Mike. And Mike has New England getting -5. I have Kansas City +5. I think I really think Kansas City can win this game. I'm not just saying that because Russ is on the show, because I wouldn't do that. But anyway, we have the over-under. It's Matt, you're up first. The over is 42 points. Over-under.
I think it's an over. Even though this game might be played in the snow, I was checking the forecast. I don't know why I'm giving you guys my secret knowledge. So I was looking up. It might snow that night. So I don't know how those Chiefs are going to hold up in the snow. But
well, they're from Kansas City, so it's a cold weather place. So they.
That's true. So
they know cold. Give me my secret there.
Well, what is Mike taking? Is he taking the over?
Mike is taking the over, and I would have taken the over, but since I need to catch him, I'm taking the under, because what do I have to lose at this point?
Could be a defensive slugout.
Yeah. Russ, you're going with? Did we lose Russ again?
I'm going over.
All right, we'll just move on to the next game. If I'll get his picks tomorrow. Next up is Green Bay versus Arizona. Mike is up first. Mike took Arizona straight. I got to take Arizona at home. Green Bay's look shaky. They're missing another receiver, so I'm taking Arizona. Russ is gone for right now, and Matt.
I'm taking Arizona. I'm surprised that you're picking them, since you need to go opposite of.
Yeah, I know, but I can't be crazy.
You can't be crazy.
Russ took the over.
Oh, yeah. See, I guessed it. Russ took the over. So, well, it's like you said last week, Jack. I mean, he thinks that his team's going to score a bunch of points. And they did last week. So Arizona, I'm picking them. I don't have a lot of faith in the Green Bay Packers. I mean, like I said earlier, they were really porous. That defense, there were just huge gaps that their defense just could not shut anything down. So I think Arizona comes out fresh. So, next up, points.
Next up, we have Russ took the over, and Arizona. You took Arizona, right?
Oh, he took the over in Arizona.
He took the over for. He took Arizona. So it's a clean sweep for Arizona. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. So next up, we have the Green. It's Green Bay +7. And it's me first. I'm going first. I'm going to take Green Bay getting 7 points.
I don't know what Russ is going to pick, but I'm going to go with you, Jack, with Green Bay with the points. I think that they're going to keep it close. With Aaron Rodgers on the field, he's not going to give up. So even if they're down by 6. So.
All right. And Russ took – he's saying Arizona covers, so he's taking Arizona –
-7.
And okay. All right. And you took Green Bay, right?
Yep, to cover the points.
+7. All right. Next up, we have the over-under. I'll go with you first. Well, it's Russ first. He took the over on the game. It's 50 points over.
Wow. I guess I agree with Russ. It's an over game. I mean, Arizona's explosive offense. You got Aaron Rodgers. I mean, if they're going toe to toe, it's easily could be over.
So you took the over.
I did.
Mike took the over. I'm gonna just for argument's sake, I'm taking the under because I'm going against Mike. So it's the only one I can do. And Russ took the over.
Makes sense.
Next up we have, it's Matt, you're up first. It's Seattle versus Carolina straight.
All right. I'm picking Carolina. So
Carolina straight for Matt. That's outstanding, Matt. Outstanding.
You want me to give you some analysis on this game?
It could be. That'd be great.
Seattle looked really beat. Seattle looked really beat up. Fortunately, Carolina, the weather you guys are going to get there looks like might get some snow. A little cold, freezing temperatures, but you know, still it's at 1 o'clock. So the worst that Seattle's going to face is that they have to wake up really early in the morning to play football that day.
Yeah. So I. Mike, I'm back. Mike went with Carolina. Thanks for the analyst there.
I don't know if it's analyst, but yeah, sure. I'll take it.
Anyway, I'm going to go with, I guess, Seattle versus Carolina. This is a tough one.
It is.
It's Seattle, two-time Super Bowl, one-time Super Bowl champ, been to the last two Super Bowls, could possibly go for a third straight Super Bowl. Hmm. I think only one team's ever done that. And that was
Buffalo?
I think Miami went to three straight Super Bowls.
Buffalo
went to four straight. I think Miami went. I believe my our Miami fan was here, but I think we went to three straight.
Yeah, I wish our smart guy was here. I mean, Mike, yeah. Mike always does all of these.
I think they lost to Dallas in 71, but won in 72 and 73.
Hmm.
Anyway, I don't know if that's exciting or not, but I'm going to take Carolina, but I would not be shocked to see Seattle win this game. And Russ also went crazy and took Carolina.
Ah.
So it's a clean sweep. Sweep it.
What a homer, you Carolina fans.
Yeah. Next up we have Mike. It's Seattle plus 2.5 over Carolina. Mike with the points Carolina. I'm going to hedge my bet here and go opposite of Mike and take Seattle. Russ, speaking for Russ, took Carolina.
Hmm.
So, Maddie, what are you doing?
Well, not being called Maddie ever again. So, Jackie.
All right, fair enough. I don't like being called Jackie, so.
Sure, yeah. I'll go with you. I'm going to take Seattle to cover. I mean, you know, they made it interesting by a one-point win, so take Seattle.
All right. Next, we have the over-under. That's where I'm at here. Who's up? Is it me? What the heck? I'll go first. I'm going to take – I think it does go over, but since I have to go against Mike, I'm taking the under, so that tells you what Mike went with.
I see. What is the points on that?
It's 44.
44. Yeah. Depending on, I guess, how Seattle plays. So taking the under, Mike's taking the over. Reluctantly, I'm taking the over.
So you're also taking the over, and Russ took. Let's see what Russ did. What did you do, Russ? He took the over. So I'm the lone. I'm the lone under.
Hey, I hope you make some ground on us this week.
That'd be nice. It'd be sweet. I could use it. Next up is Russ. It's Denver. Pittsburgh versus Denver. Pittsburgh is just beat up, but Russ took. Took the safe bet, took Denver. It's Denver at home. Tough choice.
Yeah.
Tough choice. Matt?
I'm taking Denver at home as well. So I don't have a lot of – I don't know. You can never count Pittsburgh out, but they can't go far in this playoff. I mean, not with Roethlisberger. He's like the bionic man out there.
Yeah. He's got a tear in there. He's got a sprain. Antonio Brown, they still don't know if he's going to play because he was faking that concussion, according to Pac-Man Jones. As he laid there limp on the field, he was faking.
He should deserve a Golden Globe. So
yeah, he was
best
better.
Best NFL than, acting unconscious.
Yeah, he was better than Leo.
In the playoffs.
Mike also went with Denver. I, you know, as a Charger fan, I kind of root against Denver, but it's at home. Everything's falling in place for Peyton Manning to win another Super Bowl. Have you noticed that?
Here's the thing, though. I mean, like, he's kind of bad when they're off for 2 weeks. I mean, I'm just saying, as a Colts fan, I've seen this happen many a times. and a certain Charger game where they came into Indianapolis and just broke some hearts one year.
I feel bad about that.
Because we would always get the first round bye, and Manning would choke it in the very next game. Happened multiple times. That 2-week bye never helped him.
I hear what you're saying, but at Manning's age, in his body that's beat up as it is, I think he needs a time off. It's probably good for him. He probably wasn't 100% in the last game, but I think with that defense, he shouldn't have to do a lot in this game.
Probably needed that extra week just to get that HGH shipment in. So, like, it's got to go through 5 different people before it gets to him now.
Well, I think if you see his forehead this week, it's like, you know, as many commercials as he does, he should have Nationwide on his forehead, the stamp on there, and what's that pizza place?
Papa John's.
Papa John's on his forehead. He makes billions.
I'm thinking he goes the Mike Tyson route and, you know, has it tattooed around his eye, you know, like some kind of graffiti kind of way. Papa John's around Peyton Manning's eye.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, it would be excellent. But I think Denver wins this game easily because they don't have the running backs. They don't have their best receiver, probably one of the best receiver in football. And Roethlisberger is far from 100% in that cold weather. Like I said, Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh, and they don't have the defense they used to have either. So we shall see. Next up is Pittsburgh getting 6.5 points. I guess I'll go first just for argument's sake. I'm going to take – and Russ went with Denver also. I'm going to take Denver just because, like I said, it's Pittsburgh getting 6.5 points. It's not enough. And Russ also took Denver. Matt, you're going with?
Oof. I'm going to take Pittsburgh with the points.
Really?
I don't feel comfortable about it, but
I just gave you my expert analysis.
I know, but I don't try. You can't count Pittsburgh out, right?
Man, like, I'm hurt.
I don't know.
I call you Maddie once and you go
against it. You broke on my heart, Fredo. Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh with the points. I don't feel good about it. I'm sticking my neck out here on this game. So,
but
if you look at all the games that we've picked, we've primarily picked the home teams. Last week it was all the away teams. What does it say about the NFL and this playoff wild card week? You know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just crazy.
So like I said, I think the toughest game to pick, really, if I had to bet my life, would be Seattle, Carolina. I think it could go either way.
Yeah.
Because Seattle is Seattle. I mean, they've proven to be a winner, and
I guess that's why they gave him the two point spread there, 2.5, whatever it is on right. that. But I don't know. I don't think they're giving Carolina enough credit. I mean, it seems like it should be a field goal at home. Solid field goal. But you know, I think they have the better team.
I think so. I'm just not 100% sold on Carolina yet.
Well, you live there.
I do live here, but I'm just not sold on him. next up is Russ. We have the over-under. Mike went with Pittsburgh also covering, getting the points. Next up is the over is 40 points. Russ went with the over.
He's been over this whole time.
Over and out.
Yeah. So I think it's like, you know, three stupid guys is limping into the playoffs, right?
I think we need to chip in and get Russ a new router. I think because his internet is terrible.
Yeah. So if you like our show and you want Russ on the show, this would be a nice time to talk about Patreon, right?
Oh, well, I was going to talk about it at the end, but I was trying to get Russ.
Yeah.
Up with him, but so I apologize early on for the delays and everything we had to go through the first. Sometimes there's just technical difficulties and you can't fix those.
I'll finish out with before you get to your Patreon commercial. I will say I'm taking the commercial.
And I'm going to go the under because I'm not even sure if Pittsburgh scores in this game.
Yeah.
There, I said it. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh fans. You can send your hate mail all you want. If you had a healthy team, I'd probably be all in for Pittsburgh. But Denver just has that defense. They have the best defense in the league right now, I believe. And with Peyton Manning able to hand off, and they have a good, they're solid up front, and Pittsburgh's beaten up. Sorry, Pittsburgh, not this year. You're not getting the seventh ring. I apologize. It's not my fault, but you're not getting that seventh ring. There, I said it. If you like this show and other shows like this, you can go to patreon.com/JayandJack. I've been forgetting the .com. So it's patreon.com/JayandJack. We have, you can help us out there. We have plenty of shows like this show and The Walking Dead with Three Stupid Guys. We have Survivor with Colleen, Jack, and Jay. We did a Sherlock podcast today about the Sherlock episode, the BBC show Sherlock. Pretty nice. We're doing our binge watch show. Tomorrow we're doing a podcast on murder, making of a murderer.
Oh, yeah. I haven't caught that yet. I hear that it's good. I just, you know, America's obsession with murderers. I mean, what's up?
Well, it's what we do best. Yeah, if you're good at something, you got to, you know, outsource. You got to do what you got to do. And so I think we're good at, you know, murder and crime and stuff like that. So, but it's an interesting story. It's told from one side. It's told from the defense side. So you got to go in there thinking that. But it's, I can't wait to talk about it because I was against. I was like 10 episodes. They're an hour each. How long are these things? Once I got past the second one, I liked the first one. The second one was just a rehash of what I just watched. So who needs a recap of something I just watched?
Sure. That's why I you know, despise some reality TV shows, because it seems like half of it is just like, so we're back hour two now, and we're back to the decision that we left you with 30 minutes ago.
Right.
What's going to happen?
But anyway, it's a
so binge watch, check it out. New in the Jay and Jack stable.
Yeah. I'm reading Becky's thing. Chandler Jones rushed to the hospital.
So if you like this show.
Oh, he overdosed on pills. Anyway. Hopefully he's all right. So anyway, yeah, if you like the show, you can help us out there, or you can go on. We have, like I said, tons and tons of shows on now. We have Downton Abbey. My wife and I are doing Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah.
That's always fun. The Amazing Race, we also do, my wife and I, and we're doing thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of other shows. And,
and you can catch the whole thing on The Whole Enchilada, which is my favorite feed to tune into.
It's actually the best feed because it has everything there.
You get everything. If you don't like the onions, just download the onions and delete them. So, yeah. But the whole enchilada comes with lettuce, tomatoes, you know, onions.
It's everything. It's the whole enchilada.
You want extra sour cream? You got it.
We went to this local Mexican restaurant here, San Jose's, the other day, and I got the queso de tacos. I'm sorry, carne asada del tacos. And put the hot sauce out there, and I wasn't really paying attention. Oh, don't forget, Becky reminds everyone to go on Kimmel and Jay and Jack and retweet. Have you done that yet?
Yes, I'm doing it.
We're trying to get Jimmy Kimmel on. Anyway, so I got this hot sauce. I poured it on there because I've been eating the salsa, the chips. They always bring you so many chips, and I usually load up on so many chips. I'm full by the time I get the meal. But I was really hungry that day, so I put the hot sauce on there. And I had two options of a hot sauce. I thought I picked the mild one.
At least it was hot, because, you know, this is my big complaint. You know, I go into a restaurant and I look on the menu and it says spicy. I order it, and I'm not a big spicy guy, but, you know, I like a little fire every once in a while.
Yeah.
And you try something that's spicy and you're like, what is this? This is weak sauce. I've tasted napkins with more spice than this. Like, it's just chili powder. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I usually like it a little mild, but this literally, they thought I was, my daughter and wife thought I was making it up, and then they tasted it and said, oh my God, because I poured it all in and I ate the rest of the carne asada de taco. I ate the rest of, I said, I'm not wasting it. This stuff is good. But my eyes were just like, it's like dripping, and the water was just running out of my eyes. And I'm like going, because I like hot sauce, but oh my God, that was just, it was so hot. I mean, they must put like fire in there. I was like, my tongue was burning. I'm up my mouth. I'm just like,
I'm just saying, at least they make something spicy and hot. So.
Oh, this was spicy and hot. It was way too good. But again, I thought I picked the mild one. I go, oh, I know this one. This is the hot one. I know this. I know, because I used to eat the peppers and all that stuff. I used to put it on nachos, just cover it with the peppers jalapenos. And all that stuff. Jalapenos. And
yes.
Stuff. But I, you know, my stomach, I'm older now. I can't eat that kind of stuff. It's like fire coming out of two different directions, and I don't need that.
Yeah. And when I was in my 20s, you know, I could just, you know, eat something off the street and my stomach could deal with it. It's like whatever it is, I could just digest it. Something happened somewhere in my 30s where all of a sudden it's like I eat something. I'm like, I could be eating cancer right now easily. Yeah. My stomach cannot take this.
I have a theory for that. It's getting married and having kids. I could eat anything before that happened. And not that I don't love my kids and my wife. Just saying, eat. Digested wise, I think that's what causes it.
Hmm.
But they also, you can't drink anything when you have hot sauce like that because it makes it worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to just keep. I finished the taco, and then I ate a bunch of chips, and then I go. Then I got the next taco. I put the salsa I was on it, which was just mild. I put that on there, and finished the last two carne asado tacos that way. It's like it's not the best taco I've ever had, but. Because carne asada, I think my mom's husband makes the best carne asada. It is so good.
Huh.
If you're ever in San Diego, we got to have you over for carne asada.
Hey, that's on my bucket list. It's going to San Diego and B, visiting you guys in North Carolina.
There you go.
One of the two will happen at one of these.
Well, we don't have carne asada here, though.
Yeah, not good carne asada. So. I mean, we've kind of covered the sports talk. Our sports topics. Was there anything else that we missed for the week? I'm sure there are. I mean, there's like a billion other stories that I was looking at on ESPN football. Yeah,
there's a ton of stuff, but we kind of got sidetracked when
we were trying to get to the picks and trying to get Russ on and off the show, but R2D Russ is out of commission.
Out of commission. So it just didn't work, and Mike's still a concert, but. We apologize again for the hiccups. Normally, it's not like that.
I would like to bend your ear about Leftovers, but I don't want people that you know have not seen Leftovers to be spoiled. But if I could kind of bend your ear, since
so anybody in the chat, we have Brian Williams. Brian Williams.
Brian Williams is joining us. Well, you should be interviewing us. Oh, well, or
maybe not.
Yeah, we're stupid guys.
I can remember when I was with Matt Jack doing that podcast.
Well, he spells his name with a Y and not an I. So, hi, Becky. Thanks for joining us. And
thanks, Becky.
Anybody else in the chat that doesn't want to get spoiled on Leftovers, I'm not going to talk forever about Leftovers, but I just finished season two. So I missed out on the fandom when it was happening live. So
anyway, so Brian... Becky's leaving. Goodbye, Becky. Ed, I don't know if Ed's still there. Ed, if you're there, skip ahead. Or if you're listening to us, want to just talk about it on the podcast?
Yeah.
Sure. Talk about the podcast. That's kind of good. So if you haven't finished season two of The Leftovers,
you can tune out now. We're pretty much now. just having a Leftovers bonus talk with just Matt and Jack.
Two stupid guys.
We're stupidest.
But before I forget, I'd like to thank TAC in Tokyo and Eckhart Rickner, Glaffelder, a few of our special Patreons that help us out in many, many ways. Thanks a lot, guys and gals.
Thank you. All right. So
that's it. Now it's time for the Leftovers.
Leftovers clear. Okay. So yeah, just finishing season two. It was great. Those last, I don't know, three, four episodes. I mean, it's just like, it just builds and builds and builds and just what a tapestry. So, I mean,
so much better than season one. And like I said, season one wasn't terrible.
Yeah. But it made me want to go back and watch season one, you know?
I've been telling people that didn't like season one. We did a mega Leftover podcast with two other podcasters or podcast shows. And I kind of said, I go, well, you know, I've been telling people they can go, they don't have to watch season one. Oh, no. But my point was to get people to watch it. If you watch season two, you're like, oh,
yeah.
because I don't think you're going to get spoiled on anything.
Sure.
I don't think it spoils anything by going back and watching if you watch season first.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean, and I think that I think that in this era of spoilers, there's a lot of times where we could jump into a lot of shows. I mean, I jumped into Battlestar Galactica middle of season two, and I thought it was great then. I thought it was great going back and watching the stuff that I missed, and I thought it was great going forward with the stuff that I was still getting. So I think there are shows like that where you could just kind of be like, okay, I could be spoiled. Let's just jump in feet first and see what happens. I mean, that's what we essentially do in Star Wars. You jump in episode four.
That is true. Good point.
You know, so even though it was at the beginning. But back to Leftover season two, and I haven't listened to that podcast yet. I'm catching up. It was funny because I still was listening to all of the Jay and Jack Leftovers podcast. You know, it was like I'd watch an episode and it's like, oh, I gotta listen to everybody's theories or ideas, you know. And you were pretty close on some things.
Yeah, I was kind of mad that I didn't, because I was so, in fact, we're off the air. I kept going, I was frustrated. I go, there has to be something with them not talking in that car. I go, there's something up with that.
You were on something with that car thing.
We kept talking. Jay goes, God, give it up. it's just three girls in the car not talking. I go, but that's three girls. You never get three girls anywhere. I'm not trying to be sexist here, but you never get three girls anywhere not talking.
You know what? You were so right on with it. And it's funny because sometimes when I listen to Jay and Jack, and this is what I love about listening to you guys ever since the Lost years, is that sometimes I agree with Jay, sometimes I agree with Jack. And that was one of those times where I was on Jay's side and I was so wrong. I was like, give it a rest, Jack. They're just whatever, you know? And then when it came back around that it was clear what that was. That was a clear, significant message. I was like, damn it, if Jack wasn't right. Like, I was just like golf clapping the whole time. And I was like, Jack was onto something.
It doesn't happen often, because I do get obsessed. Yeah. You know, if you've listened for a number of years, I get, you know, even this show, I get obsessed with something and I can't get, I'll watch something. And the whole time I'm thinking of that scene, because it just never made sense.
It stuck out.
Why would you show three girls just driving along, not talk? It just didn't make sense. I think I said it one minute she was having one of those seizure things that she had.
Mm-hmm. I kept thinking it was something to do with the whole running naked in the forest thing. I kept trying to figure out what that was about and how it related to the whole silence thing. And I just couldn't draw the connection.
Yeah, I think at one point I thought that maybe she's in between flashing. She's in between departing and she's trapped in both worlds or whatever is going on with it. But I don't know. You had some great theories that I don't think were even brought up.
So one of my theories early on was that there's this, you know, first episode of the season, you see the whole cave woman thing, and she's separated. And I liked your idea how she's a leftover from, or to the people trapped in the cave, she just disappeared. I liked that.
I think Jade said that. Did he?
Oh, okay. Well, see, there you go.
I don't know. It's hard to believe Jay would say something smart like that, but every now and then.
Every now and then. It reminded me of the whole Garden of Eden and the snake in the garden, and it's wrapping around the baby. She goes to get the snake away. It bites her. She's filled with this venom. She picks up the baby, and she continues to walk. Well, I know that babies just naturally will go to nurse, right? And the baby is quiet at some point, and she's laying there. As she's looking at the bird up in the sky calling to her, and the baby's quiet, you know, notably. And then she dies. And it's like, oh, well, clearly the baby was probably nursing on her, consumed the venom, and then is taken away. And whether or not it's actually evil venom or whatever, I just thought, okay, there's something spiritual about this moment, Garden of Eden or whatever. And maybe this child is then raised, and this venom is
by another?
By another. Exactly, is taken and raised in, and this venom is this special, I don't know, evil that is part of the tapestry of humanity, and all of the people that are descendants of that child are the ones that disappear. So,
now, what did you think when you're, because it start, that's how the season two starts. It starts with the, you know, the cave, and you're like going, What am I watching? What are they doing here? Because I know going into season two, I'm like going, what are they doing? You saw the previews; they'd be outside that town, a miracle, yeah. A long line. You're like going, what is going on? Why don't they just go around? What is the deal?
Right.
And then they open up with this cave thing, and I'm like going,
well, and then it immediately ties into the whole Eve thing, because the first character we see after that cave scene, and it kind of pans back. It's like, okay, thousands and thousands of years later, here's Jardin, Garden of Eve, and the one character we first see is Evie. Don't call me Eve.
And spoiler alert, we're this close to getting the actress on the show.
Ooh, nice. And I would just say that the whole, and it's a question that I would have, I guess, for Damon Lindelof, is Evangeline as a character, was she named after Evangeline Lilly? And the whole don't call me Evie reminded me of that character, Evangeline Lilly, don't call me Evie.
Well, spoiler alert, we're going to probably have him on the show before season three starts.
Okay. I guess that would be it's just my lost question, because I just... Yeah. Is it a shout out to the fans? Is it an Easter egg, a lost Easter egg? Wouldn't put it past him, I guess. So,
but it was a trippy start to the show. And then, like I said, the first episode, you don't really see a lot of the main characters.
Yeah.
We saw it season one, they're setting up new characters, and they got some great actors and actresses this season. Not that season one had bad actors and stuff like that, but season two, they really, Regina King, I'm a real big fan of hers ever since, there's a lot of her work, but even Southland, I love to work on Southland and just a lot of other stuff. And so they really put together a great cast and
said, writing was perfect. It's funny, because my wife had just, it was one of those moments where I'd put it on and she was on the couch and she kind of woke up during the whole opening sequence and she started watching it, and you know, she watched the whole episode and she was like, that was strange. You know, she just kind of had this look on her face like, what was this show?
She didn't watch season one.
She hadn't seen season one at all. So she had no idea, but she was definitely intrigued by the show. It was like, she liked the show, but you know, it's like, and then when I said, oh, well, one of the co-creators of Lost, you know, wrote this show, and she was like, oh, it makes sense. That was such a Lost like episode, like first episode. I mean, even she noticed that. So, but yeah, I liked the town and how it built and, or build, to that. Well, there were a lot of different, you know, I guess great episodes, but that one episode where he dies is just, you know, leading up to that moment, and then, so leading up to that moment where he dies and he drinks the poison, that was such a great episode. But then right after that, you get the death hotel episode, which was so good. So good. It just was like, gloves are off. Like, let's just make some crazy, you know, imagery happen.
I think that was my favorite episode of the season.
Yeah.
It was so... so crazy. And the end where he's, you know, he has to debate, you know, he's obviously he was told he has to kill Patty.
Yeah.
And then it's Patty as a little girl. I'm like, going, oh my God. And
whole sequence crushed me it just was like so overwhelmingly.
And the little girl, the little actress who played she was outstanding. It wasn't, because usually I bag on the kids that are bad actors. She was fantastic. I'm like, and then when he pushed her down the well, I went,
yeah.
Then he jumps in. Then he jumps in the well, and it's life size Patty.
Yeah.
and the whole scene was just.
And then we get that other moment with life size Patty, where we get this Jeopardy story, which is tragic and heartbreaking, and they have this moment together, which is just so.
Yeah.
And then he kills her again, and then the whole thing crumbling in. I kind of had a feeling that he was going to climb out of dirt, but the way that we got to that moment, I mean, it was buried like a card in the stack of a magic trick. And it was just like, boop, was that your card? Was that's what you thought was going to happen?
Well, they set it up earlier with the bird.
Yeah.
In the box.
And even for the viewers, I guess that called it out or saw that it was going to head that way. I thought the way they got us to that point you know, with him waking up in the bathtub, you don't expect that happening, to the whole sequence of events and the, like you said, the girl, I mean, even the girl drowning, she starts off drowning in the pool. He saves her life.
Right.
Only to kill it at the well.
Yeah, I didn't know that was Patty at first.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. A lot of people got it right away. I'm like, going, oh.
I did not either.
I go, I just thought it was a little girl in a pool. I mean,
yeah.
I said, oh, because I assumed they're already dead. I go, well, they're already dead. What's the point here? I assumed that was what's going on. But I just a fantastic episode.
The visual imagery alone, I mean, even him walking her out in the dawn and then her sitting at the edge of a well, it just seems so. Damon Lindelof has a way of pulling in these kind of iconic imagery in a way, and he weaves it in a way that it seems like something new, something you've seen before, but not, you know, just the man at the well with the girl. It is iconic. And then to follow that episode up, was the, it was the Megan, centric episode. Started off with the White Lines, I think, the song, and she's, you're getting kind of a little bit of a background about her character and all the way up to this moment of the season finale. And I know some people didn't like that episode as much. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, I thought for one, the whole check writing scene, I thought was really cleverly done, because her mom is guilting her into feeling bad, and she writes a check, which is the remnants of this guilt.
Right.
I thought, boy, what a great word play of guilty remnant, you know, and writing the check, and then the mom dies, and it's, I even liked the whole her making the son fall in love with her, which you called, and they're playing the country music, and she whispers, "I wanted to make you pregnant," which I thought was such a really weird way of saying, "I wanted to make you fall in love with me."
Right.
I wanted to twist you around and he was completely twisted around her finger at that point.
He was her. Tommy was hers.
Yeah. And then how that episode ended with the three girls, and the trailer, and again, the White Lines music being played.
Yeah, I didn't see that, because people said, I saw that coming. I go, I didn't.
Yeah.
When they opened up the trailer, I went, what?
I didn't either.
Because they made such a big deal about the kid that had gone on the property. Did he see something? Yeah, but we can just hold him till after we're done. No, stone him.
And you're thinking that it's explosive still.
Right, because that's what they lead you to believe.
Yeah, and only on HBO can you get away with throwing grenades into a school bus and walking away.
I'm glad they didn't show that.
Whew, oh, gosh. I mean, but talk about, I mean, that the whole time you're like, please don't explode. Please don't.
Exactly.
Again, gut-wrenching, breathtaking imagery. And the last episode was good. I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. It was great. It lived up to basically the episodes before. I felt like it didn't.
And it could have been a good series finale, too, because they weren't sure if they were coming back for season three. So I thought they did a good job of going, okay, we left it open. We can still go somewhere with it. Mm-hmm. But if this is it, well, we've wrapped it up.
I had the song Homeward Bound stuck in my head the day after, that's for sure. It was great because he didn't nail it like some kind of lounge, you know, it's like he didn't nail it as like the best singer in the world. He nailed it with heart, and you could just feel the earnesty of what he was singing came from the heart.
I had that. What was that song that Matt was playing in the? Was when he?
Oh yeah, the song that he kept playing for his wife every time she.
That song was in my head. For a week.
Oh, yeah. I liked the Matt episode too. I liked the imagery of him being the repentant person and taking the place, very Christ-like of Matt, and very, you know, noble, and just him being a man of like him setting up kind of camp there, and like this is his church.
There wasn't a bad episode.
No, I think it just increasingly like a freight train. I mean, it just came in roaring and it just never let up. And I mean, there might be, I don't know. It was great. A couple things last to note as far as my theories and ideas, the cricket in the box and the cricket at the beginning, I thought from the first episode that the cricket was supposed to symbolize his conscious, like chimney cricket,
right,
and how it was lost. And then for it to show up dead in a box, trapped, I thought was really, I don't know, I thought it was a really nice comeback, pulled that first episode together in such a cool way, and then we got the great F-bomb, you know. I mean, you guys called it on your podcast. They deliver F-bombs like no other. And,
oh, they're the best. They're the best at F-bombs.
They are. So if you're going to use them, make them count. And I can't think of my only other thought or theory was that I realize that he's probably alive, but my thought was, and again, this would work as a series finale, I think, too, to make people think or question, but he dies once. He gets shot, which, you know, he dies again. And I love the fact that we go.
It's a gut wound, too. And usually.
Yeah.
You can survive those.
Yeah. And I thought it was a great callback. We got to go back to the hotel of death. And he comes back to life yet again. So he survived death three times. And then I thought at the very end, when the earthquake happens and he's face down in the grass, I thought, oh, he's going to die again. Like he's almost home. And he dies, and then the earthquake happens. He goes in, and then he sees basically what he'd want to see, his family.
Right.
And it seems so perfect that they're all there waiting for him. I thought, well, maybe he died again. And that was, you know, but I realize that that's probably just reaching. He did probably see his whole family gathered there.
I thought that maybe that could have been the ending too. If it's a series finale, you could have said, okay, yeah, they're all dead.
Yeah.
And that's just where they're, you know, it's kind of like Lost, where they all, you know, they're all intended to be there together. And
yeah, that's kind of how I felt. And I'm glad that they got renewed for a third season and that basically they're going to finish it out. So
I was thinking about asking Damon, okay, all right, you had a good first season, you had a fantastic second season.
Mm-hmm.
You had like the amazing, I mean, like your favorite athlete has the best year ever. You just gotta go, yeah, I'm done. Because the pressure to come back and have a third season and to wrap it, and now the pressure, he's been there before.
Sure.
You know, with well, Lost.
Do you come back with a new theme song and everything? Because I thought that was kind of.
Yeah, I like the new. I think they have to come back with a whole new.
I think to keep in tradition to come back with a new theme song, I think it would be pretty cool. Although I have to admit, this theme song and that imagery at the beginning, I'd see it every time and I'd listen to the music, but it really got to me. Like,
yeah.
Just emotionally, there's that one photograph of the little boy touching the mom's face and the mom's gone.
Right. They're laying in bed, right?
Gets me every time. Yep.
Yeah.
It gets me every time I see that image or the two people in the bathtub. The intimate moments between the parents and the children, and then one of them's gone. It's just like, yeah, just.
Well, yeah, I think you have two parents, and there's one person holding no baby, and there's one.
Yes. And all of that imagery gets me every time. Just stick pins in my heart before we even start the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So. I think one theory I had is that the reason they're able to survive all these gunshots is that they actually departed.
Oh.
The people we see are the ones that departed. The other 98% are still on Earth or wherever they're at. These people have just, they've departed. And that's why they can't understand what's going on.
Huh.
That was a theory I had, that maybe that could happen, but.
Well, I like that. I mean, I think there's definitely some, I like how they tie in the metaphysical or the spiritual with the supernatural. It's super cool. So.
Cause there's no way in reality, the real world, that he would, Kevin could have survived being buried, drinking the poison, and getting a gunshot wound, laying there for hours because it was daylight when he was shot. Right.
Yeah.
And then,
and who let all the dogs out? Like, we come back, the dogs were in the place,
right?
You know, he shoots them. The dogs are going crazy, leaves them there. you know, and, we come and back.
Why,
and
why are the dogs quarantined for 60 days? Why?
I think you're onto something. The dog imagery comes up again and again in the the episode, and even if it doesn't mean something super significant, maybe
in the first
it'll
play season out. That guy was going around killing dogs.
Yeah.
He kept saying the dogs have something wrong with them. So
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see the dog imagery pay off in the third season. So keep hitting those crackpot theory home runs, Jack. So,
I'll try. I'll do my best.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much my assessment as far as, like, you know, thoughts or ideas. I'm glad to talk to you about it. I know you kept asking me the entire season of Sports Talk. Hey, have you seen it?
Well, I knew you'd like it because it was such a great season.
Yeah.
I've been telling everybody I know, because even my wife, like you were saying, my wife kind of watched season. She would watch it when I was rewatching it. And she'd go, God, this show's depressing. Why do you watch this show? Well, I podcast about it. And season two, she started off going, she'd watch it. And then she'd go, she kind of asked me questions. But towards the end, she was like, she was really into it. I go, oh, you're watching it. She goes, well, this is really good. but I couldn't watch first season because it was too depressing. I go, yes, this season's more uplifting. It's more, it was better storytelling. It was just a better story.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was Jay or you that brought it up, you know, about, I think, comparing it to the other show on HBO that had a great first season, and then the second season lagged, like everybody hated on it.
True Detective, yes.
You know, so, you know.
I didn't hate season two, but a lot of people hate it. I mean, it wasn't as good as one, but.
I know. People really liked hating on it, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can almost compare and contrast the two and say, like, well, is it better to have a, you know, a good, solid, strong first season, you know, and then hit them with the second season that's just like a bam.
Well, you know? Did you ever watch Homeland?
I did not. I missed the Homeland kick. I always listen to you guys' podcast and talk about it, so I know spoilers on it.
Yeah, first season is just amazing. Second season is good. Third season is terrible. Fourth and fifth season are good. So it got back to being good again. They just strung out with this character. I don't want to spoil anyone who hadn't seen it. But they just kept dragged out. And it just but like you're saying, season one was so good. How could season two live up to what season? And another thing with True Detective, the problem with it was all new cast.
Right. Well, and they changed it up so much, which I liked. I liked it going into it that they did that. But I think that if they didn't stick the landing on season two, it was always going to fail like that. Yeah. And there were some moments in season two that I really loved with that cast, but it did drag. And unless I put it on and basically had it on in the background and just was like, I'm getting through this show. Like, there was no way I was watching that show.
Yeah. They had too many convoluted stories, too many things. They're trying to make it too complicated, I think.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, there was still character stuff that I really liked to see develop. But I think that they could have definitely trimmed the fat maybe. And again, Leftovers has one season that's completely different from the other, but it works for them. And maybe part of that is anticipation and expectation. We had expectations of True Detective season one to season two. Season two could never live up. Again, almost better to have a good solid first season, but an even better second season.
Season one of True Detective, it was winning all the awards. I mean, Matthew McConaughey was, I mean, you couldn't say enough good things about him. And he was, and you know, Woody Harrelson was excellent too in it. I mean, it was just more probably the acting and how the characters, those two characters played off each other more than anything, I think.
Yeah. Perhaps it could have just been a mini series and just existed like that. But, clearly, no, you have a show, you have to keep it going. So, I don't know. Those are my thoughts about The Leftovers. I'm glad that I caught up on it. Glad I could catch it. Glad I could talk to you about it, because I feel like I missed it out on all the chatter and the hoopla.
That's how I feel about BSG.
Oh, sure.
I didn't watch it till after it was over, and you know, I missed all the fun.
Yeah. Well, I won't waste any more of your evening here, Jack. Hopefully the listeners stuck around and wanted a little bit of bonus Leftovers talk.
We're a little smoother during this talk than the football talk. Again, for everyone's list, I apologize. It's just We got to get something worked out with Russ's internet because it's becoming an issue.
Yeah, and we do like him on the show.
Yeah, he's good on the show. You know,
he brings stuff.
He had a good take on his take, but it's just the Frozen part.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're not talking about the Disney movie.
No. So. He's no Elsa.
All right, well,
Matt and the listeners.
See you next week. Great show.
Hey, now remember, I'm gone next week, though.
Oh, right.
I gotta work that out with you guys and see what we're gonna do.
We can talk about that off air.
Okay. All right, guys.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Great show. We're clear.
Not yet.
Not yet.